Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 27 of Syncing with ServiceNow. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. Today is December 18th, 2023. Excited to be with my group of folks here today. John Dahl, Fred Reynolds, Becky Whiten. John, how's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you.
John, you got enough projects going on, keeping you busy?
It comes and goes. You know how it goes at the end of the year.
You always want more. That's the sign of a good consultant, right? Absolutely. There. Wants more work. Fred, how's it going for you?
Good. You can see I'm getting ready for Christmas, growing out the old gray beard like Santa Claus. So it's going very well. I'm very excited.
Are you playing Santa Claus at the mall? Is that what you're doing?
I should be. I should be. I got to gain another 100 pounds and I'll be right in there. So
you're good with that one.
Thanks.
They put padding on you is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
All right, Becky, big holiday plans coming up?
Lots of food, family and entertaining. So yay, put on the extra 10 extra pounds for the camera.
But give me one example. So Becky's in Texas. Becky, one example of something at Christmas that you guys do different than everywhere else in the country. And it's Texas, so I know there's something.
Oh gosh, we do a lot of things.
Is there anything special though?
I'm trying to think. You caught me off guard.
That's right.
Just all supposed to be bigger and better in Texas, right?
Everything is bigger and better. Food, we lay out the spread, let me tell you. And then we have the best ice cream. It's called Bluebell.
Well, we have that in our store, but it's not because it's here. We just get it from you guys.
Yes.
Yes.
It comes from not very far from where I live.
John, I'm sorry. I don't remember where you're located.
I'm in Houston. I'm in Texas, too. So one of the things that we do is we get to have the windows open when we go around and look at the Christmas.
That is a nice thing. Occasionally, though, you get hammered down there with some cold. But I guess Texas, Houston doesn't get that cold typically, does it?
You know, occasionally we get a little bit of ice here and there and a little chill, but it's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's 62 here today, so it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. And Fred, you're in Raleigh, North Carolina. Anything special happening in your household that would be unique?
I wouldn't say unique. We do odd things sometimes. One time we had a fondue Christmas where we did fondue for Christmas Day or a pizza for Christmas Day. You know, you get tired of the same old traditional stuff. So we do so many different ones, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, parties before it. So definitely we eat a lot, have a lot of parties leading up to it. So,
well, this is my my kids are 21, almost 22 years old. This will be my first Christmas where we go somewhere. Like we're going to the beach because, you know, Santa can find us there if he's going to come. And so we're going to the beach for the first time and we'll see how that goes. The beach we're going to had a hurricane more or less over the weekend, very unexpected, you know, big nor'easter, I guess you would call it, of some type. I don't know if you can call a southern storm a nor'easter, but big, almost hurricane like type thing. So it's going to be going to be interesting down there.
I'm glad you told me that because I want to get with you after the podcast. I was going to come down to Charlotte and go to some lights thing that Kim wanted to this week, see if you and Regina and kids are going to be around, but we'll handle that after the podcast.
Yeah. All right. Well, the blog that you guys brought forward today, and I think it was John's pick on this one, is 9 customer experience predictions for 2024. John, what particularly caught your interest at this blog?
Well, you know, there's just a great thing about appreciating and understanding what we've accomplished for the year, but also looking ahead to see what kind of exciting things are coming. So I wanted to be able to talk about what we're going to be able to see if these predictions come true.
You know, I think with a platform like ServiceNow, it's probably easy to say that we've got years and years and years of what's next ahead of us. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what's so exciting about it. Fred, anything specific that you want to make sure that got you excited about doing this particular blog? Well,
I'm glad John brought it forward because honestly, I feel like most conversations I'm starting to have with customers is starting to become a big part of what they're talking about. Even if we're just talking about ITSM or just their ticketing systems, they're talking about their customers, internal customers, external customers, and the challenges around that. So I think this is good, great blog for leading to next year as to a lot of the things and challenges I think we'll be trying to solve and help customers with next year.
You know, to sum ServiceNow up, it's taking all those internal and external processes and making them better and more efficient. You know, what applications were meant to do. And you know, going back to my statement to John a minute ago, it's limitless. Like there's no end to the amount of challenges still ahead of us. And ServiceNow as a platform gives us a fighting chance to address all of them over time.
Yep.
Becky, anything about this particular blog that, you know, you found exciting and reason why you would want to cover it?
Several different things on here actually pique my interest, as well as I think they will our customers. Looking forward to some of these changes, some of these upcoming items that ServiceNow will be working on and or has already worked on to improve and will continue to improve on. So exciting new times coming and continuous change. So which is a great thing. So that will help all of our customers, I do believe, in
Yeah,
time.
just looking at the intro paragraph, they underline the words customer experience, CX, underline the words customer journey, and then there's this thing called generative AI, which I'm sure we're going to talk about all three of those things in this conversation. But you know, those are things that kind of set the table for 2024 and beyond, which give us just a ton of future roadmap that the ServiceNow platform allows us to address. First one on the list, Fred, I'll come to you first. Number nine, point solutions give way to platforms. I think we've kind of been talking about that a little bit now.
True.
Help people understand what platform really means here and how it impacts the point solution madness that we've had
for. I want to give a little twist to it too, because I feel like for a lot of my career, we were always looking at point solutions when it came to monitoring and certain niches that you needed to do for an organization. I think it's interesting here to say point solutions when it comes to customer experience, customer journeys. We see that too. We see that a lot of people have to give it to a different UI to do certain functions, and it's getting clunky. People are bouncing around different authentication methods to get to some of those as well. So I think when it says point solutions give way to platforms, I think we'll have a lot more companies, especially those that already have ServiceNow, those that are moving to ServiceNow, will use the platform for what I think it was intended to do, to break down those silos, to make a unified platform, to make it very easy to move through the journey. And on the customer experience side, it can do that as well, especially with some of the things that ServiceNow has introduced with consolidating a lot of their dashboards, their website into one, like EC Portal, EC Pro for internal employees. I mean, it's consolidating it all, making one streamlined solution. So again, removing a lot of the point solutions, individual things that were solving one use cases, and moving to something that can solve them all and have a one place to go to for your request and services and the like.
Yeah, the idea that you log into this, log into that 3 times a day to do things is just crazy, and that's where platforms start to take precedence.
Indeed.
John, the next one here is AI. Let's see, what does AI stand for? No, I'm just kidding. Number eight, AI and automation mitigate process bottlenecks. We didn't get very far before we started talking about AI. John, what's this one mean?
Well, you know, from the early days of IT, the idea of automation has been to try to streamline processes and remove bottlenecks. But we continue to have this idea of a person has to be involved in do approvals, and we kind of mix up the idea of awareness versus interaction. And so one of the biggest bottlenecks I've seen is a request sitting in somebody's mailbox or whatever it is, something is sitting in somebody's email box and they're not getting around to responding. So that process is delayed by that. But if you can start to articulate certain conditions and thresholds, you can automate a lot of those decisions that a person really doesn't have to spend the time to do. And so this will really help to streamline those processes a lot and to really get your product and your service to the customer a lot faster.
Okay, Becky, number seven, workforce optimization becomes imperative. Well, that is about time, I guess I would say. What is this one trying to call out?
So several different things here. So I believe that there is going to be better assigning of different things based upon skill levels, also the ability onto the workforce. If we're talking about workforce, also there is an application for workforce, which allows a lot of different things, scheduling and appointments and things along those lines that a lot of people don't know about that came about after COVID and also helps. You know, more people are remote now. And so there's ways for managers to check in on some of their employees as well to see, are you okay? Being able to check in and so forth. Maybe allowing some of those tickets to not run stagnant if something happens in somebody's area. So if a hurricane happens in Louisiana or Texas and people are out for certain reasons, there's going to be better ways to be able to optimize and be able to look at who could work those tickets a little bit more and help us out with moving those around.
So I probably should have been doing this the whole way, but so there's workforce optimization becomes imperative. That's the name of this section. So you've got the overall idea of empowering your workforce. Becky, mm-hmm. are there certain modules, certain workflows that aligns with, or is that the entire platform that aligns with?
It's a lot of the platform. So most all of the tasks, whether or not it could be project related or incident, case related, HR task related, and so forth. So I think it really is across the board.
Yeah. It really ties into the concept of an application, in this case, an application platform, where the whole goal is to make the business better versus, I know we talked about with Fred in the first section, individual silos versus, in this case, the whole business is getting better and able to work together as an organization. Fred, number six, technology solves field service labor shortage. I'm certain that has not gone away.
So this was interesting. I didn't expect this to be here in this way, think about customer experience, but I think we've all been affected by the shortages that are out there. When I think about how this platform can help, or how platforms like this digitizing things, it really can help with customers that are onboarding their employees, training them, getting them ready and enabled to do the work that's ahead of them. What this article talks about too is seeing how a lot of the people with the experience, the days of people being around in jobs for 25 years and just had that historical knowledge of things that were going on, made it so they could do their job because they had it internally. Now we see a lot of new workers where have technology at such an expanding pace that it's hard to keep up with. So I think the use of a platform like this with AI capabilities to put things in front of people quicker, mm-hmm. not just to training them, but while they're working, they get a particular case, the knowledge articles are there, help aids are there, things are popping up to help them move just as quickly as these happen. I think that's what we'll see technology helping with the labor shortages.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to help the people in the drive-thrus count the change better, but I haven't figured that one out.
Well, what are you doing using cash?
Well, there you go. Could be part of the problem.
Number five, organizations grow through retention. John?
You know, it's cheaper to keep a customer than it is to get a new one and onboard the new one. So anytime you've got an opportunity to have that customer be satisfied by what you're doing and introduce new services to them, you can grow your organization with customers that already know you. They're using a platform with a consistent experience for them. Everything is better when you can do that, when you can keep those customers rather than trying to onboard new ones.
You know, I when I read that out loud for you to talk about it, I assumed retention meant employees. You started talking about customers. It's both, really, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And I think that's kind of the difference, is now we look at employees as if they're customers because, like you said, cheaper to keep them. We want them to be productive and happy. We also want to get the most out of them. Technology and a platform specifically is going to play a big role in both customer retention and customer retention. Becky, number four, contact center cloud migration accelerates.
So I think this is just where, you know, more and more of the customer service industry is moving to cloud and being able to be remote or being different places to be able to work within the tool. You could still have different departments, maybe they're different locations, different areas and so forth, but it's in the cloud. And so therefore, just like ServiceNow is, you are able to work and still provide the support that you need to. Maybe even better than you could have if everyone had to go into an office.
It's inevitable, isn't it? Where the efficiencies and the flexibility that comes along with cloud delivered services, including IaaS or SaaS or PaaS, it's going to win out. It's just a matter of time before more and more people, certainly for things like platforms, it's a no-brainer.
Exactly. And the way ServiceNow is set up with workflows, those flows can go to, you know, numerous different teams and still be a particular ticket. So. Yep.
All right, Fred, back to you. Number three, agile, scalable platforms gain importance.
So not surprised this is going to be one of the top threes. This is something I think has been there for the last couple of years and will be for the next couple of years. I mean, these platforms like ServiceNow have to continue to let people get the return on their investments. Everybody still has to reduce costs, do more with less. And I think platforms like this exactly lean it towards that. So I think people having to really justify what they're investing in, And I kind of shared a little bit more this morning, and I had a long conversation this weekend with somebody at a party who works in IT, who was talking about he has big platforms like this and how he really is driving to get rid of these niche applications, things that have been there for a long time, and bring them onto a platform like this. And it's really because it is so agile. And we talked a lot about the low code, no code, and so that his end users can actually create workflows on their own and get rid of little things they call applications. So I think that's going to be a continual thing over the next couple of years, as we'll see people gravitate more to platforms versus niche point solutions.
Yeah. Well, and as you pointed out, you could have those conversations in sit down meetings like we have all the time, or at the company or neighborhood Christmas party. Everybody is catching on to the idea of platforms, whether they realize it's the platform or not. They understand that, that these platforms that come together to provide multiple solutions is the future, and ServiceNow is positioned well for that.
Andy, I think you made a good point. I think that's one thing that resonated in the conversation and some of these is that these are platforms. These are not just little applications. It's a combination of that. And as people really understand that, I think that's when they'll start seeing their investments, return more on their investment from it. So.
So I think this is interesting. We talk about the platform, and then we talk about industry-specific customer experience solutions within the platform. John, this is number two here that's left. Industry-specific CX solutions dominate. What are they calling out?
The introduction really is spot on. The idea of a one size fits all solution, that solution solved somebody else's problem a long time ago, long enough that it was wrapped, shrink wrapped, and packaged in a product, right? So if you've got some industry experts that are creating the tools that really help their organizations and their industry thrive, Serenity, I believe, is one healthcare provider out there in the store that's available. So you're already starting to see that. They've been out there for a couple of years where you can go to the store and buy an application that meets a specific industry need, install it, configure it, and you're ready to go.
Yeah. And then as you need to tie it into other things, there's going to be something else within the platform that's available. Or there's APIs to integrate with other platforms, but it really becomes something that has long-term sustainability, that the entire organization can rally around for their IT needs.
Oh yeah, by bringing that into the platform, you're sharing your foundational data in a single source where everything is consistent. You don't have to worry about this application's data being out of sync or outdated versus another application.
Yeah. All right, Becky, this is the last one, but I'm going to ask John and Fred to comment on this one too, because it's all the hype, right? Generative AI, artificial intelligence, hype becomes reality. Becky, does this truly happen in 2024?
I believe it does. So I believe that it's going to come about more and more. So we've already are seeing it in some of the virtual chats, some of the different demonstrations where you can, users can type something in, and it will go and pull up either something into the system. It can look at their computer. If they're having computer problems, it can go search through the knowledge base. It can go do quite a bit of things. I think more and more of that and getting easier and easier for that to use and being able to expand upon what all that we can pull from is coming. It is, for this to be number one, I am sure that it is number one. If they could put it at zero launch, I think we're here. So a lot of people are very interested in Gen AI. I don't think it's going to solve everything, but I do think it's going to help in certain areas. And chat or virtual chat is one of the top particular areas that could really help different service desks from people actually having to answer things that are repetitive or things that others could just have searched and it was out there into their knowledge base or somewhere for them to be able to get help from and ease of use. So I think that is bringing the kind of the UX experience and the portal experience along with the chat experience to light.
So Becky, I think you did this, but in your comments, I think you did it, but let's to be real succinct, what's the one thing you believe generative AI will be used for in 2024 within the platform, which may already be happening, but what's the one valuable piece you see Gen AI? Like, give me one example of a use case.
I would say chat. So if I went to a portal, that That is one particular one. But another one that I read in this particular article, which I did not actually think about, is field services. So a while back when I was helping Dell with stuff, and you're doing parts, and you might have a customer with a 4-hour SLA, and a field rep is out in the field needing to grab a part from somewhere because they have to make sure something is up. It could be as easy as, them on the mobile phone trying to find out what warehouse that they needed to go pull that part from, and talking to it versus having to go search or go to the computer and look things up.
Right. Okay. John, we'll come to you next. Generative AI, is this the year that it happens? I'll use air quotes, happens. And if so, what, give me one example of something you're excited to see it solve, do for us.
So I still think that Gen AI is a buzzword, and a lot of organizations are spending a lot of resources trying to understand what it's capable of doing. I think it's going to be important for organizations to understand the risks that are involved in using it and it potentially providing bad information to your customers. So I think what's going to happen is as companies figure out what it's capable of doing, they're going to start to settle down into a couple of areas where they feel that the risk is appropriate and they're going to want to use it to interact with their customers. And I like Becky's example where the field service guy's out there trying to type a part number or a part name into your phone is not going to be the best thing, especially if you've got dirty hands because you're out there doing field service work. But if you can just speak to the AI and say, "Hey, I'm at such and such a customer and their boiler's out, go find me the parts that I need," it really
Yeah.
offers a lot of potential.
And then maybe it chimes in. Oh, by the way, most people forget to order the XYZ that comes with it or you need with it. What do you think? Oh, yeah, add that to the order. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? I could use that in my personal life a lot. The trip to Lowe's means I really go 3 times because I forget the other 2 things every time. Fred, your thoughts on Gen AI and why it's number one and what you give me one thing you would like to see it do for us.
So first of all, I do believe it will be a reality this year because I think Gen AI has been around for the last, what, 15 years. I've been working on this, but becoming a reality now, it's mature enough for us to start using it. And you saw that through some of the tools that are out there people are using. What I would like to see is, and how I think it can be used, especially in like casework or trying to solve incidents, say a particular product. With that particular product, as long as everything's been loaded up into the system for, its release notes, its troubleshooting guides, and all that things, I believe that it's going to be able to assist people get to the issues and fix the issues faster by presenting that to the service people to say, "Hey, based on your software level, based on your description, try this." And I think it's just really saved a lot of time out there for people trying to correct things because it's in the background learning all this stuff, and it should be able to present it a lot faster. Instead of trying to troubleshoot with 5 different things, I think it'll get them to the one thing that probably would fix the problem first. And it'll change quite a bit.
Well, guys, that's the article for the most part. I'm calling out the last line here where it says, "Meanwhile, find out how ServiceNow helps organizations deliver frictionless customer experiences." Whether it's the employee or the customer or the actual outside customer, I think that's the goal for all of us, right? Get them what they want, what they need, and make it feel natural and native coming out of the system. Guys, do you think the customers that you've interacted with us so far, are they ready for, let's say, the Gen AI part of this? Or there's a lot of work left to be done.
We're getting ready to find out because the two people on here with John and Becky are both involved with one of our customers that's fully into it. John actually hosted them down in Texas, had an event around Gen AI. They just redid their licenses. We're doing it this month to start addressing that. So we'll do another one of these, Andy, in the quarter and let you know how well they've adopted to it because they're really on fire to try to utilize it. And I'll say one more plug, right? For those that are listening here to need to get the ServiceNow Knowledge 24. I think a lot of Knowledge 24 is going to be about some of these customer use cases and how they've focused on the customer experience and Gen AI has been able to help them move it forward. So I'm excited about Knowledge 24 to see some of this stuff become that reality.
Right.
Early registration's open.
Yep, there you
And
go.
not just talk about it. I would like to see someone actually implement, not just talk about we're getting there.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
Like
and that goes back to
getting
my
from
question. I asked the question, and Fred talked about a customer who's all in. Now we're going to help them do it. I think there's a ton that are very skeptical, but they know based on what they're believing generative AI is all about, that there's at least pockets where it can be very helpful for them.
And it's going to be important, Andy, for us to use it and demonstrate it, because those customers that are nervous around that is because they haven't seen it and nobody's seen them be successful with it. So we're there to help share our experience with our multiple customers around that to where we are successful with it.
Yeah. And then John made the point a while ago, you know, to use it, but yet understand and validate it and evaluate it for whether it's right or not. It's going to be interesting to watch that unfold in our personal lives, our work lives, where, you know, artificial intelligence is used, but also making sure that we get it for what it's really worth. Right, great. Wrong, we need to be able to understand that what's wrong about it and move and use the value in it.
We need to introduce it like you bowl, Andy, with those bumpers set up in the gullies, you know.
There's ongoing maintenance for sure.
Yeah.
And there's right ways to use it and wrong ways to use it, I think. So, and I think there's going to be certain things that are going to be bumpy along the way, and then there's going to be certain things that are going to work great. So I think that's where got to figure out what works best for which company
Yeah.
and how to utilize it.
I'll end this with a story. I walked in yesterday, my oldest son was watching, and then my youngest son sat down and watched the second half of it, 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I'm like, see, that's what could happen. That's what AI could do. It could try to take over. It was just a, you know, many, many generations from now and going forward will not have that reference of what the 1960s thought artificial intelligence was going to evolve into. All right, guys. And I'm not saying it's going to evolve into that, but I'm saying we gotta control it and use it for all the right reasons. Guys, thank you again for joining. I guess this is the last one until the holidays. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and you guys enjoy the time with your families and friends.
Merry
Thank you,
Christmas.
Andy. You too.
Appreciate you guys doing these in 2023, and we'll look forward to a whole bunch more in 24.
Yeah. Our top nine.
Our top nine. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.